your looks. I was born from worlds deep for your limbs. I'll burn your bones.
In the Prohibition years of Minneapolis, Minnesota, there was an underworld. Gangs of bootleggers, bandits, sluggers, and murderers roamed the streets and conducted their business. One of the most legendary figures of that time was Isidore Blumenfeld, also known as Kid Can. He began as a newsboy and grew into the most notorious gangster Minneapolis has to offer, and either a psychopath or the nicest guy ever, depending on who you ask. Volsteadland explores this world. Join me, Amy, and my co-host Heather as we journey through this era of prohibition, bank robberies, empty promises, and murder. Hi, Ghosty Fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello.
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 Hello. I put a little pizzazz in it.
Oh, you did. I can't see you right now because I'm looking at the script, but did you do jazz hands?
No.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm.
I just did my voice.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us again. In this episode, we discuss the Dead File episode titled Battlefield from season two, original air date June 21st, 2013. And I chose it because it made me think of the Pat Benatar song Love is a Battlefield.
That's a very good reason.
Very deep. Very in-depth. A lot of science went into it.
Yep, as usual.
Content warning, we do have child death in the history. We have a little bit of sexual assault.
By an entity. Some indigenous nonsense.
Yeah, indigenous nonsense. Kids being harmed by an entity. Nothing major, but I mean, it's there, so... Mm-mm.
I have a few little housekeeping things. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you all, if you don't already know, that we have a survey out. And if you take the survey, you will get an email afterwards thanking you and giving you the bingo cards that we've created. Mm-hmm. And that survey is found at theactivitycontinues.com/survey. Go ahead, fill it out. It's kind of lengthy. Give yourself, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe a little more. But it's worth it to... give us some insight on what we can change.
Yeah.
Or give us some woohoos if we're doing good.
Whatever you want.
And also to get those bingo cards, because that's kind of fun.
If you're going to give us criticism, be nice. We're delicate flowers.
We are. We're very sensitive.
We're sensitive. But we are open to critique, anything that you want us to change.
We are open to that.
We're open.
So we do also want to know which Dead Files episodes are your favorites.
Yeah.
If you want us to cover them. We have done over half of the Dead Files episodes now. We have done 128 episodes that we have covered. There are 113 left. There are still, I think there's 4 or 5 that are unavailable. Like they took them off the air and we can't get them anymore. So let us know if there's any that you want us to cover. And eventually we will run out of Dead Files episodes to cover in about 113 weeks. So we want to know what other shows you would like us to cover. We've gotten some great suggestions from our patrons, like Ghost Brothers and Kindred Spirits.
That is such a funny show.
Ghost Brothers? Uh-huh. Yeah, we did do an episode of that. That was fun. I do love that show. Mm-hmm. We just won't do anything that includes douchebaggins is all. Pretty much anything else will be
fair game.
Yep. And then also, if you know anyone in the paranormal or metaphysical world that you think we should talk to, send their info our way and tell us why you think they would be great for our show. And we will look into it and maybe put them on the list. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all I've got for housekeeping.
I think that's all I
have. You got anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the episode, everyone.
We hope you like it.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing the Dead Files show, Battlefield. This one takes place in Flint, Michigan. And it was Megan's choice, so she's here with your overview. Take it away, Megan.
Yeah, here we go. Karen, our client, called in Steve and Amy after dealing with entities that have not only been harming them, but have started harming their children. Her and her husband live there with their 5 children. They are experiencing scratches. They see apparitions. They see black masses. And now the attacks have turned physical. Not only is their marriage at stake, but they feel their lives are at stake if Steve and Amy can't help them. During her walk, Amy encounters an entity that consistently changes shape, causing her to struggle with identifying what it truly is. She also discovers there is a living woman who is fighting for her family and her life and dreams of the house burning down every time she leaves. A cantankerous previous owner enters the picture during Steve's investigation. It is revealed that not only did he die inside the house, but that Karen and her family are still using his furniture, including sleeping on the mattress he died on. Digging further into the past, we also uncover a plot against indigenous people who own the land the house sits on originally. Who could have seen that coming? A plot against the indigenous people? What? That's so rare. What happened to the indigenous people? Is the previous owner who died still there? And most importantly, can Karen and her family continue to live there? Or do they need to move to save their marriage and their lives? Stay tuned to find out if the activity continues.
Very nice. So I don't remember if I asked you this in the intro, because we haven't recorded it yet.
Right. So probably not.
But did you choose this because you knew something about it, or did you just...
No. I chose it because I saw the name and it made me think of, I think it's the Pat Benatar song, Love is a Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I chose it.
That's from my day.
Little did I know, it was a very scary episode and it had one of my worst fears in it, a spider.
I know. I was watching it and I'm like, oh no, Meg.
Yeah. I was texting Amy and I'm like, abort, abort. I don't want to choose this one.
Why did I choose this? And then there was also child death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was in history, but which is still awful, but not as bad as when it's like the client who has it.
Right.
Has that. But yeah. So yeah. Anyway.
It was a really good one, but man, there was a lot of there was a lot of stuff happening.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Show. All right, what do we want to do first, I guess? You know, Steve says Amy and I are their only hope or their last hope.
So, I mean, check that off your cards, everybody. If you're doing... Yeah. I did think it was really interesting when Matt was doing his walk. He said, there's a large family that lives here, so I need to carefully conceal any evidence of this. I thought that was an interesting thing to say because it struck me as odd to point that out. But then Amy comes in and she comes in hot, y'all. She immediately, the first thing we hear Amy say is, I'm hearing growls. It's not like an animal. It's not, it's like not an animal. It's not human. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says, there's some pretty bad shit here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Steve comes in and meets with Kathy. I'm sorry, it was Kathy. I kept saying Karen in my overview.
Oh.
Maybe I should rewrite that. Why did I say Karen?
I don't know. When I read that, I was thinking, I don't remember a Karen, but I guess I only watched it once and a half. So
no, I was wrong. So immediately when we see Kathy, she's just, I mean, there's no fight left in her. She's just beaten. She is exhausted. Mm-hmm. Everything that you can imagine is happening has happened to her. They've been scratched, clawed. Things been thrown at them, hits the kids. She's been grabbed. She's been sexually assaulted in her sleep. Mm-hmm. Her husband's had things thrown at him. And I thought scratched and clawed were the same thing.
Well, yeah, I looked it up and it did say that claw marks are usually deeper. Scratches can be more like a surface.
Okay.
Like, like a cat scratch, I think of, you know, those can be pretty deep too, mm-hmm. but like a claw.
Like a scratch would be more like the three lines we tend to see, whereas claw would be maybe deeper and more skin.
I think of a claw mark being like the skin is, yeah, pulled back, yeah, or whatever.
I think of like a werewolf claw mark. Like,
yeah. Grr. I don't know if that's it, but that.
Well, that's what it is today.
That's what we're calling it. Okay.
We decree so it.
They've had both.
And then Steve goes, "You okay?" "No, Steve, they called you in."
"They're not okay."
She's like, "Oh my God, Steve. Yeah, we're actually really good. Like, I just wanted to meet you.
I just wanted
Big
to be on
fan. TV. Huge. Yeah. You're a lot shorter than I thought you would be, but..."
Just kidding. Steve. We give him a lot of shit about that.
Oh, Steve, get on your soapbox, because it's the only way you can see over the counter. So then Kathy, of course, she has 5 kids, and mm-hmm. she feels awful because they're all getting attacked. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's the thing that we hear with people who are parents, and mm-hmm. every single time, how do you fight someone you can't see? You know, how are you, as a parent, your one job is to protect your kids. Mm-hmm. And if you can't protect them, you feel like a failure, you know?
Yeah. 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 That's a lot of, I can't, it's all my fault. Yes. It's my responsibility. I fucked up, you know, and they take it all internally. And that,
of course,
it's so awful because obviously it's not their
moms
fault.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally understandable. I just wish that,
I know,
they didn't feel that way, because it's not. That's not true.
Of course,
nothing you can do about that. I mean, you know what? She is doing something. She got Steve and Amy in. So,
yeah. You know what? She did everything. And when they talk about it, she did try to stop it. Steve asks if they've had stuff, you know, if they've done anything to stop it. They've had investigators come in. They've mm-hmm. done a cleansing of the house. They've done mm-hmm. sea salt around the yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like she's done everything that the kind of haunting checkbook or checklist would have you do.
Well, plus they also did an exorcism.
On her. Yeah.
And Amy was like,
I know. My thought process to that was, I thought the church, I wonder who did it, because it was my impression, and I could be wrong because I'm not Catholic, but I thought the church had to have like a ton of evidence. They don't just be like, "Oh my God, George, how are you? You want an exorcism? Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm free Thursday. Can we pencil that in?" So mm-hmm. maybe it wasn't the church that did it. They don't say who it was, which that makes me concerned, because exorcisms need to be performed very precisely. And if you have an amateur doing it, it's probably not going to end well.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are people who are not churches who can mm-hmm. who can do them successfully, but it's
right.
It's not common, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I've heard so many horror stories about when like a team comes in and they're like, "Oh, this guy knows a lot about demons. Let's just do an exorcism."
Yeah.
You know? And that doesn't go well.
Right. And I didn't mean to imply that people who are not affiliated with the church can't do exorcisms. Of course they can. I just am wondering the level of somebody. I mean, they probably weren't an Ed and Lorraine, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So, and then Steve goes, when she said that, he goes, "Oh boy." And I'm like, "Yeah, Steve. Oh boy, indeed.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Ugh,
oh boy." Yeah. Oof. And I was thinking, like, he seemed like he was like, "Well, of course, you know, it didn't work." Cause like, mm-hmm. he doesn't even probably believe that it's a thing.
Right. Greg. 100%. Yeah. You could just see it. I mean, Steve is not good at poker face. Like,
no, he'd be a bad poker player too. Can you imagine playing with him and Amy?
The worst. So then we kind of shift back to Amy, and she said, whether people are now or people before, there's somebody who is into some dark stuff. And mm-hmm. Matt said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "They're into paranormal, but they're uneducated about it," which is never good.
Ring a ding ding. We've heard this before.
What,
Brittany?
What?
Kitchen it's, witch. I'm looking at you.
First of all, Amy, it's kitchen magic. Second of all, she doesn't remember writing on the wall.
It wasn't even her handwriting.
No, it was in blood. I'm just kidding. I don't remember if it was. So
it was red. I think it was red marker.
She 100% did it and wanted it to look like blood. Anyways.
She's probably drunk. Oh, didn't she talk about passing out and falling down the stairs? Anyway, yeah, whatever.
She did. Not the right. I'm sorry. Another tangent. Welcome to ADHD. So then we go into the living room and there's a twin bed in the living room. And mm-hmm. I was like, are we? And it looked like a child's bed because it was like it had girl like almost princess bedspread on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe there's not enough room for the kids. I mean, there are five kids. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's a lot of kids.
And I don't remember the size of the house. Did we see it from the outside? I don't remember.
We didn't see the whole house from the outside. They'd show like the corner of the house. So mm-hmm. you couldn't really tell how big it was. Mm-hmm. But I think, and we'll kind of get here as we I don't care if we jump around either. It's up to, you know, whatever we makes sense. But I think that later, when we learn about the previous owner who passed mm-hmm. away in the house, didn't they say he passed away in the living room? But then they also say that he passed away in bed.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was thinking he passed away in that bed. But then we also hear that this family is using his furniture and that the husband and wife are sleeping in his bed.
On the mattress.
On the same mattress.
Mattress he died in.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing to use the bed, like, it's not great, but I get it. Beds are expensive. Mm-hmm. But the fucking mattress?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The way my jaw dropped, I think I dislocated it, actually.
Well, and also because it's not like he died at 9 o'clock and somebody came at 9:15. He was there for 3 days, you know?
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
People start leaking after.
I really hope he died in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, I don't know if you know this, but I was at an autopsy. I'm just kidding. But the person, one of the people there had passed and it had been a few days since they found her, before they found her. And she had like mummified mm-hmm. and her skin had started to. So even in the winter, it wouldn't matter. Yeah. But like, oh,
and did
God.
They say it's because of the room being so dry? Because of the heater?
Yeah. Yeah, because the, So even like, I can't. Like you said, they leak. Like there's, But you know what? If they don't have the money, then.
I'd sleep on the floor.
I would sleep on the floor too, but.
I'd sleep on a sleeping bag on the floor.
Yeah. So then Kathy says they see black masses in the living room. And she said a lot of them, some of them look like people. Some of them look like headless man. And the man says, get out. It's my house. Mine. Leave. So that makes me think maybe it's the person who died in there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. you're using all this shit. He's probably like, what the? This is my shit. And then Steve goes, there's no reflection from outside. Yeah, Steve, there's actually a headless man that walks by outside every day. His name's Bob. We just say, what's up, Bob? I mean, I get why he asks it. I get it. But, like, Steve.
He's just trying to run through, like, let's make sure it's not the dogs. Let's make sure.
And then he's like, well, that's got to scare the hell out of you. I'm like, yeah, probably, Steve.
It does. Yeah, she said.
Yeah. Then we go back to Amy, and she goes, there is something that runs. I hate that sentence. I hate it. It runs through the wall as if the wall's not here. And Matt says, was this the thing that was growling? And she goes, yes, it's not something you want to fuck with. And I'm like, yeah, no, of course not.
And that seems to be an area where there's they don't really say this, I don't think, unless I missed it. But she was saying it runs through like there's not a wall there, which mm-hmm. makes me think that there wasn't a wall there at some point. And whatever this being is running like it normally did when it mm-hmm. was there. Mm-hmm. And once they put the wall up, obviously it can still run through. But
right. Like it was an addition or. And then she says, it morphs. I just saw it turn into a big spider thing. And then I texted Amy and said, I am fucking out. Why did I pick this episode?
And I said, because it's your favorite.
I love them. The editors are not helping with their fucking creepy crawly music that they're putting on. That's exactly what it sounds like, actually.
I like
that's it. Because you like that stuff.
And I do.
And of course, we have the standard, you know, we're at each other's throats. We fight. We're a close-knit family. And then Steve asks, well, how long until, like, you step off the property to you're feeling better? And she goes instantly. Like, all you have to do is step off the property. She talks about her one son got mad and punched a hole in the wall, to which I said, he did not punch that hole. Yeah. That is a hole.
The hole is as big as the kid.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless he put there's a smaller hole underneath that.
Right.
And that could have been a hole that he punched in the wall. But I mean, this hole is literally like the size of a toddler. Like a 2-year-old.
And it's high up.
It is.
You know, it's higher up than the doorknob. Mm-hmm. And this kid is not that big, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not like, you know, Steve tall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who is really?
That was a joke.
I know.
But yeah, I think there's another story there. He may have punched that smaller wall or that smaller hole. Something else did that bigger hole. I think that's not just a punch.
That is not. That's like he threw a chair into it. Like we're
or somebody threw his body into it.
So Amy, we're back to Amy, and she says, I'm hearing a lot of fighting and screaming. And then she says she sees this slithering thing, slithering under the bed. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'd like to change my episode. And then I thought, why, in the words of Ron Weasley, why can't it be follow the butterflies? Why can't she see it be like a little herd of bunnies? What do you call a gathering of bunnies? A herd? I don't know. It's going to be a herd now. A fluffle. I think it's a fluffle, actually.
Really?
What?
Since Amy's not here, I'm going to look it up. You can keep talking. I'll look it up.
Oh, it's a colony. Well, you know what? We're changing it to fluffle because that sounds better. So why can't it be a fluffle of bunnies is just my thought. Then
herd is also correct, as is Warren.
I like fluffle, though.
Warren. Yeah, fluffle's good.
Yeah. So here, everybody... This is where the magic horribly happens in the backyard. Because they go in the backyard and Steve's like, Kathy, why are you out here? And she said, well, she went to talk her husband in the garage. And all of a sudden...
We haven't had a husband in a garage for a while.
I know, but we got in this episode. We even interviewed him in the garage. It was season 2, though. So there were still a lot of garage shots happening. So she went to see him in the garage, and all of a sudden she said she felt a hand reach around her throat and she couldn't breathe, couldn't talk. She came running out of the garage and actually vomited because of the hand on her throat. And then she goes, I haven't even told you the worst of it. And I'm like, great. It gets worse. I love this is so bad. I feel so bad for this family. But then she was sexually assaulted. She was grabbed in bed. Woke me up out of her sleep. Mm-hmm. And then she checked on her son, Mikey, and looked over and something had grabbed his leg and was pulling him. So his head was coming down the bed and like pulling him onto the floor. And can you imagine waking up and looking over and, you know, for you, it would be Greg's just being pulled off the bed. But knowing Greg, he'd be like, it's fine. It was probably the dogs.
Yeah. No. It was probably me. I probably did something. I just tripped or something. Yeah.
I got tangled up in the sheets and then Vivi was pulling on him.
Vivi, all 6 pounds of her.
The smallest of your dogs.
Pulled him right off the bed.
She's scrappy.
She sure is. She would have the willpower. I just don't know if she could.
She would. She just wouldn't have the muscle. Gracie, though, would be there helping her. And then Steve goes, how do you live like that? Like, not great, Steve. I hate it when he asks them these questions. Like, I mean, how do you live like that? It's got to be tough. Like, yes, Steve, it is.
I think it's just I think it's just filling time. He's just.
Yeah. And then Kathy said something that just broke my heart.
It's just she not said, living.
She's like, I'm just praying for a fire. She just wants the house to burn down. And I'm just like, you just feel so bad.
And I
bad
was
for
like,
her.
You know, you could leave a cigarette burning and when you leave, go into town and make sure all your animals are out of the house and then oopsie.
just like casually dumping gasoline everywhere. Oh no, I hope it doesn't burn down when we're gone.
Yeah.
Whoops, here's a lit lighter. I'm sorry. Darn it.
Yeah, I'm just going to put my cigarette out here on the carpet.
And actually just set it down. So, I mean, they're going through it. It's not great. And Amy actually picks up on that. We meet Zach. He's 16. And this, I gasped because he got scratched. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear about like scratches. You're like, okay, whatever. Everyone gets scratched. There's a word scratched into his stomach and the word was leave.
Yeah. Same word that Amy heard. Mm-hmm. Or was it Amy or was it Kathy? Kathy.
It was Kathy because they heard
the guy said, this is my house, leave.
And I mean, it is pretty clear in the pictures.
It is.
Like that, it is very evidently that word. It's not like they're squinting and you got to step away 20 paces and in the dark at sunset at 6:54 p.m. you can see that it looks like leave.
Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And Steve has to ask him, you know, you didn't do this yourself, did you? Which, I mean, that's, I would have asked that too. Mm-hmm. That's legit. But I was thinking if a kid, now this kid's 16, so maybe he's got a little more smarts than like a littler kid. But like if you were to do it to yourself, you would write it upside down, you know, because you're writing, you'd be writing it like the way looking that at you your see tummy. It.
Yeah.
So you'd write it leave like that. But it was as if somebody was writing it on him.
On him. Yeah.
On, from the side. Yeah. So, yeah, that's I can't imagine.
Yeah. And then Zach said he woke up and there was a guy sitting on the toy chest and he said to Zach, I can be a real good friend for you. Goodbye. Ugh. I hate that.
That is very creepy. Very creepy.
And then Steve asked what he looked like. And Zach said the first night he looked like a normal human, an old guy. And the next night he started getting a little looked like he was decomposing. So again, that makes me wonder, could it be the previous owner?
Yes, I'm sure it is. And I immediately thought of this movie called American Werewolf in London. Have you seen it?
Is that the one with 80s Michael movie? J. Fox?
No, that's Teen Wolf. American Werewolf in London is, it's a horror movie, but it's also one of those kind, it's one of the first ones that was like scary but funny, you know, like Scream was.
Yeah.
And it was these two guys who were backpacking through England and they get attacked by werewolves. Or a werewolf.
Naturally.
And one of them is dead and the other one becomes a werewolf.
Spoiler.
So the one that dies keeps coming back to his friend. Every night he comes to his room and every time he comes to see him, he's more decomposed and decaying more and more.
Yeah.
And it, so it made me think of that. I thought maybe this kid had seen the movie.
Yeah.
And that's where he was getting those images from. Where he was when he was sleeping and waking up and seeing that.
Could have, yeah.
But yeah, that makes total sense because, especially because we know that man that lived there before did decay a little bit anyway. He was there for 3 days before anyone found him. So,
and it was a cleaning lady that found him.
Yeah, it was a lady that used to come over and like make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Apparently she should have come a couple days earlier.
So. Way to go, Betty.
I'm sure it's not her fault. I'm sure that was her schedule.
I know. I'm just teasing. I don't blame her at all.
I know.
So then we're in the backyard with Amy and she said things here have gotten really bad. It's consistently tricking someone. She said she thinks it goes to a child and it acts like a babysitter or something. So then she does a voiceover. And she said, this entity is incredibly deceiving. It projects itself into anything it needs to get close to people in this house, which I don't like that because.
Mm-mm. No.
That's never good.
No.
So, and then we're with Mike, Kathy's husband. And where are we?
In the garage.
In the garage. So then Steve is like, I talked to Kathy. And Mike's like, okay. Like, obviously you talked to Kathy. And then, he asked Mike, Kathy's husband, what he was experiencing. And this is like insane. One day Mike was working in the garage and something hit him in the back, I happened to look down and it was a piece of concrete.
Yeah.
But like, are we sure the dogs didn't do it?
It could have been the dogs.
Have we looked into it?
Yeah.
No concrete in the walls or ceilings here. And then he also had a wrench thrown at him and hit him right in the middle of the back, which, mm-hmm. ow.
Mm-hmm.
But that also makes me think of dodgeball, because if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Vince Vaughn movie. It's really good. Uh-huh. Even though he's dead to us. But
yeah,
that was a good movie.
I'm sorry to hear about Vince Vaughn's demise.
Not, R.I.P.
He's still alive.
But he was at the inauguration. So
yeah,
I was surprised at how many people were there, honestly.
Like, you mean Jewel? In general, or people that you recognize?
People that I recognize, and yeah. people in general. But Jewel?
Yeah.
Jewel?
Yeah.
The betrayal.
Yeah. I follow her on TikTok, too. She's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Or I should say, I used to follow her on TikTok.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So then after he got hit in the back, Steve asked if he was alone in here and asked where the kids were, and the kids were all in bed. Mm-hmm. And then Steve goes, "What's your biggest fear?" And I responded to Steve, "Spiders." Thanks, Steve. It feels really good to get that off my chest. It's really been weighing me down. Oh, God.
But that's not Mike's fear. Mike is afraid somebody in the house is going to get hurt.
Which I'm honestly surprised that they haven't already, with how physical these attacks are.
Yeah. I mean, people have gotten hurt, but I guess hurt, really hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that someone writing, or an entity writing the word "leave" on your stomach or chest or whatever it was, that's mm-hmm. that's hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Amy's in the garage, and the entity gets physical and it can move things very harshly. And then she says the D word. We've got a demon, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we spoke with Beverly,
mm-hmm.
she said demons didn't exist, and mm-hmm. people use the word demon because that's what people relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes more sense to them to say it's a demon than it's a really mean person.
Yeah.
So,
and I thank God, knock on wood, never encountered one, mm-hmm. but it's interesting that some people will say they don't exist. And some people are mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, they do. I'm a demonologist and I see them all the time. You know, mm-hmm. so maybe it is just semantics. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're back in the bedroom and Steve asks Mike why he brings him in here. And blankets are getting pulled off of Mike. He's being shaken awake. To which my first thought was, well, maybe you're a blanket hog and your wife is cold. Did you think of that, Mike?
That could be it. Or it could always be the dogs.
I mean, I thought that went without saying.
Yeah.
He did say, Steve did ask if blankets can be pulled off by the animals. Mike said, no, they have the door locked. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. And then Steve's like, it's got to be tough for your marriage. Well, no shit. And she's actually threatened to walk out before. And Mike says her personality has changed. Everybody's personality has changed, yeah, honestly. He has a very mm-hmm. short fuse. And the guy that lived before that lived there before him had a short fuse as well. Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if he wasn't just influenced by that story.
He could be.
Because he knew that. You know, he knew about that. And so, you know, if it's one of those things where, like, he gets angry and then he's like, oh, I'm just going to blame it on the fact that the other guy had that too.
And he even said, all I know is what his kids have told me, the previous owners, is that he liked to throw things and he drank.
Yeah.
So, like you said, that could be subconsciously influencing him. Or like you said, he'll just like, oh, I'll just blame it on the old guy because he was mean too.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, so this is where we get the information that he died in the living room and they found him 3 days later. All the furniture stayed behind. So we got his bed and both of his dressers. And Steve goes, is this the mattress as well? So you're sleeping on this guy's mattress?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I just, like, even if he had been, he had died peacefully with his family around him and they instantly took him away. No way would I sleep on a bed somebody passed away in.
No.
You could not pay me enough money.
I mean, we probably all have since we've all been in hotels.
But not that I know of.
No, not that you know of.
Yeah. And then Steve goes, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I'm like, that's a very Minnesotan thing to say.
Yeah, it is. Or like, that's different.
Yeah. Oh, that's different. Okay. Look at you recycling. You're saving the planet. Oh, Mikey.
Oh, God.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. Am I right? No. So then we go back to Amy, and she sees people fighting, and a man comes out of the closet, and she's in the master bedroom.
Not that way. Not what you're thinking.
What?
Man comes out of the closet.
Oh.
No, I was just saying. You said man comes out of the closet.
No.
Not in a good way.
He literally walks out of the closet as a spirit, not as a human, but as a spirit. Mm-hmm. And he says, ha ha, I've got you, which I don't like that.
Nope.
And then Amy says he tries to sleep in the bed. You would feel like a poke. People would hear him talking, but there's no words because it's all gerbly.
And I love that word.
I know. That is a solid word.
Gerbly.
Can we work it in? Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
And then she said it looks like intestines or brains are kind of like coming out of their mouth or something.
Blech. I can't wait to plug that into the AI. The AI thing I use to make pictures must think I am the most demented person on the planet. The things that I plug in there to try to get it to create. Because sometimes they're like, yeah, we don't do that. And I'm like, oh, come they're on, like, man.
And then the message just pops up to Amy and it's like, are you okay?
You are on a watch list now.
And then there's like five therapists near her. Like, please call these. They're in your network.
Right.
But Amy's saying she can't communicate because their brains are scrambled. They're not making sense. And she doesn't know if this person is like mentally ill.
Right.
So then we go dig into the archives. And Steve interviews their neighbor who knew the previous owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to call him Old Wild Bill. Old Bill.
Old Bill. Old Wild Bill.
Wild Bill. And Steve goes, well, he died in the house. And Robin is like, yep, there was a woman. She would cut the lawn and run errands. And she hadn't heard from him in 2 or 3 days. And she opened the door up and found there he was, passed away inside the house. And Steve said, well, did he have a mean side to him? And Robin was like, yeah, if he could, you know, if he, like, Robin was like stumped, like he didn't want to say it.
Yeah. And then what he called him was half mean. He could get half mean.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's that mean?
Yeah. Half mean. Mean old Bill. Half mean old Wild Bill.
Half mean old Wild Bill. That some bitch running down the lane, chasing the kids. That's half mean. I don't know what full mean is. Can you be like a quarter mean or like three quarter mean? Like, what are the fractions we got?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard half mean before.
Seven eighths mean?
Must be a Michigan thing.
It must be. If you're from Michigan, and is that a thing? Or maybe it's just a Robin thing.
Yeah, maybe.
And then Robin said after his wife passed away in there, which makes me think, did she die in the house too?
Yeah, I thought she died in the house too. They never said anything about that later.
Everyone's dying in this house.
I know.
No, thank you.
Knock that fucker down.
Yeah, poo poo. That's me knocking a house down. That's good. How you do it.
Yep.
Pew pew. Pew pew pew. So then Steve's like, well, how did Bill feel about the house? He kept this place immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
His yard looked like a golf course, and he had the inside of this house. Everything was very nice and particular. So that makes me wonder. Because when you see the house, it's not messy by any means, but a family of seven people live there. So it's lived in. So I wonder if that's, you know, making him.
That's probably flipping him the fuck out.
He's like, I did not keep this grass at a quarter of an inch for you hooligans to run all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Robin said, I thought was really interesting, if anybody was in there and messing with his tools, he'd probably roll right over in his grave. So that makes me feel like...
Or throw a piece of concrete.
Or a wrench. Or a wrench. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. So that makes me wonder, what could there be foreshadowing? I mean, I feel like they're hinting throughout this episode that he's in the house. I feel like he is at all. So then we're back to Matt, and he's Matt and Amy, and Amy's describing this man that she's having a hard time understanding. And she said he's a white male, his body's frail, he's shattered. And she said he could have been on drugs or booze. He boozing?
Yeah, boozing.
And she said this person is here most of the time in this room, and I believe they were in the living room.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break.
We recently tried Wantable, and I love everything about them. They sent me a box full of stuff, and I think I kept 3 of the items and returned the rest. However, I noticed after I had sealed the bag and scheduled the pickup that I had forgotten to return an item and was so worried that I would be charged for it. I reached out to Wantable and immediately they sent me a different return label to package up the item that I had forgotten to send. Not only is their stuff top tier, high quality, adorably cute garments, but their customer service is top notch. I 100% will continue using them. I've already purchased and received my second box, and I look forward to many boxes from them.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/wantable. And here's how it works. You pay a $20 styling fee. Whatever you keep, they subtract the styling fee plus another $25. So you basically get $45 off your order. It's a great deal. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
So now Steve's digging through the archives.
Digging through the archives.
And we hear about a little girl named Loretta Eisenweck who died from a tragic accident inside the home in 1936. Mm-hmm. But the death certificate doesn't explain how, so Steve managed to track down Loretta's nephew. So we've got 3 people now who have passed away in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So we're interviewing Ron, and his family owned the house from 1931 to 1974. And there's a picture of Loretta when she was 4 years old when she passed away. And she was... Her mom was doing the laundry and she fell in the hot water that the laundry was in. And yikes. Steve goes, that poor kid, I mean, she must have suffered.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that he said she probably died of an infection or something related back to that, which is possibly, totally possible. But she could also have drowned. But if her mom was right there doing laundry and she fell in, her mom would have, you know, chucked her out of there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she didn't drown. Maybe it was just that she got really bad burns and then she got, you know, they got infected and she died from that.
So at that point, she was the only child. His grandparents were very young. And then she said it took him quite a few years to get over it, which I would argue that you don't get over it. You just learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know? Then we go on to Kim Crawford, who is a man, and he is a historian. So,
and he is not a wine.
He's not a wine. No. Common. He probably gets that a lot.
He probably does.
So we meet up with Kim, and so he's getting in touch with, oh my God, I feel like I've said Kim about 57 times. So we're meeting up with Kim. Here's Kim. Let's introduce Kim. Kim's a historian.
What's his name, Megan?
His name's Kim.
Is it Tim?
No, close. Kim.
Oh,
they sound alike. Kim. They sound alike. Right. You could get them confused. One's a K, mm-hmm. one's a T. It's different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's going great.
It's really just nailing it.
Plugging along.
Steve then meets up with Kim Crawford, who is a local author and historian who's written a lot about Flint. And he says that Kathy's property used to be filled with tragedy and warfare, to which I say it still kind of is. I mean, somebody mm-hmm. recently passed away on it. So, like, not great.
Yeah.
So, of course, now we have Indigenous people. Pretty horrific stuff went on mm-hmm. here, because of course it did. So mm-hmm. I will say I did not like the way Kim talked about this tribe. It was very, the way I felt was like they were a warlike tribe. The U.S. government was terrified of them. So the Saginaw Chippewa tribe is the tribe mm-hmm. who owned this land. And they were very much aligned with the British, who were coming out of Canada to fight America in the War of 1812. He presented them with a picture, but it looked like a painting because I Googled it and cameras weren't invented until 1816.
So, I thought the same thing. I was like, that is not exactly a picture. I mean, it's a picture, but he made it sound like it's a photograph. It's a picture of a
painting is what it is.
Yeah, it's a picture of a painting. I mean, if we're going to mince words here.
Well, yeah. So in the War of 1812, the Indigenous people would take hostages. They would capture soldiers, swoop down on a settlement, just basically take everybody hostage and then ransom them to white representatives for money. To which I say, I mean, you are fucking them over left, right, and center. What mm-hmm. are they going to do? Like, it just made the way he talked about them were just not, to me, it was very like, I don't know. I don't know what the word is I'm searching for. But
more sympathetic to the British than to the natives. Thank you.
And to the Americans than to the to the Indigenous people, which like we're fucking taking their land.
Yeah.
And then Steve is like, American soldiers, when they were prisoners of wars, what were they treated like? Kim is like, it would have been hard to be a prisoner. It would have been, food would have been at a premium, to which I think he meant minimum, because that's two different words.
Well, I think he means a premium, meaning it'd be more expensive.
Oh.
A premium meaning like it's harder to come by.
Okay.
It's special. It's harder to come by.
Okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, minimum works too. I mean, that makes sense.
And then he said there are accounts of people being tortured to death with, that happens in any POW camp. Like, don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great either way.
No, it's not great. It's not great. But he made it seem like the Indigenous people were the only people who would do this.
Yeah.
I felt like he, like you said, he was very sympathetic to the Americans and the fact that they were whatever.
Yeah.
So we're back to Amy and she sees a lot of dead men. There's at least 10 white men. They're messy. They're muddy. Their clothes are tattered. So she saw long gray coats. A lot of them are sick. They haven't had meals. They're just really like miserable. So she's obviously seen the prisoners of war.
Yeah.
So the war ends. The Indigenous people, he doesn't call them that, but we're calling them Indigenous people, are kind of screwed. The British left. They need money. And the only way that the Indigenous people had to get money is to sell land to the United States. And at that point, they are relying on their friend, Jacob Smith. So mm-hmm. Jacob Smith is a fur trader. They've known him for about 10, 12-ish years. So, I mean, they know him pretty well. And they turn to him for advice. And they are like, what do we do? Because they think he's their friend. But what they don't know is that the government is paying Jacob Smith to influence the Native American or the Indigenous people to sign a treaty in 1919. Mm-hmm. And also, what this piece of shit does is he secures land for his heirs by having indigenous names for his children that the indigenous tribe that he is friends with have given them written into this treaty.
Yeah. So that his family gets the land.
Yep. So the land that Steve's investigating that the family on is called Nandashamo.
Yep.
And that was the indigenous name that the Chippewa had given to Jacob Smith's youngest daughter, Maria mm-hmm. Stock. Mm-hmm. So he had written it into the treaty that she gets that land. Yep. It was shitty.
That was shitty.
It sounds like he basically tricked them. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Sure did.
Wow, that's rare.
Yeah. I mean, the white men have been shitheads for a long time.
At least they're consistent.
You gotta give them that.
You gotta, do we though? So then we get to the sketch, and what do you think she drew, everybody? You guessed it. She drew the entity, the demonic creature that can change shape. But the way she drew them is very scary, because she drew like a little kid talking to a little girl, and then she had it cast a shadow on the wall of what it really is. So yeah. When you see the drawing, it's very, very scary.
It is.
So then we're at the reveal, and it's Mike and Kathy mm-hmm. in the reveal. So Amy talks about, the first thing she talks about is the 10 men that she saw, torn and tattered coats. They didn't have food, mess, very ill. And that's when Steve talks about the War of 1812, the Chippewa, or the Chippewa.
Saginaw?
I thought it was Saginaw Chippewa.
Yeah, Saginaw Chippewa, Chippewas. I think you're right. I think it was Saginaw Chippewa.
So the Saginaw Chippewa Native American had sided with the British. They'd go out on raids. They'd kidnap the soldiers. And then he showed her the picture. And then he talked about Jacob Smith and how he basically screwed them out of land. Mm-hmm. And so Steve goes, as far as I'm concerned, he really screwed the Indians. Mm-hmm. It was a deep take.
Deep and words. Use the word Indian.
Yeah, I hate that.
I mean, he did use Native American a few times. Mm-hmm.
Kim used the word Indians throughout. So
I've noticed that when they talk to the historians, a lot mm-hmm. of them do use that, because that was the a word that even they used mm-hmm. themselves. And so that's just, we just don't use it anymore.
Yeah,
they do. They can, just like people with darker skin can use a word we can't. It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. And they've earned the right to say whatever fucking word they want.
Exactly.
Any word they want to use, they can fucking say.
Yep.
So then Amy said when she came into a house, she saw an individual jump out of the closet. He was in the bedroom. And he said, I've got you. Came out of the closet. He said, I've got you. Beep. Which I assume means he said bitch. And he tries to climb into the bed and sleep, and he rips covers off the beds. And this is where Kathy says she's felt the blankets being pulled off. She's been grabbed sexually. She's been shaken. Mike's been shaken. And Amy said, what I did get was that he was white and there was some kind of substance, maybe drugs, and his body was frail when he died. And to that says, Steve goes, it's interesting that you say that. And then he talks about old Wild Bill. That half mean guy.
Half mean wild old Bill.
He was cantankerous. He wound up in a wheelchair, which they did not say that. Maybe I missed it, but I never heard where they said he wound up in a wheelchair.
Oh, in a wheelchair. Sorry, I thought you meant cantankerous.
No, they said that multiple times.
I did not get the wheelchair part either.
Mm-mm.
I didn't catch that either.
Yeah. And then Steve goes, the odd part is when they bought the house, they bought most of the furniture in it. And Amy goes, Lord. Oh, Lord. And then he goes, they're actually sleeping on Bill's mattress. And Amy goes, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. And then Steve's like, would them keeping his furniture make things worse? Yeah, Steve. And I know he's asking that like, I know he knows that.
For us,
But like, and then Amy goes, yeah, that's probably not a good thing. That's hold a lot of residual energy.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. And then what else is going on? She felt like some of the living in the house are trying to communicate with the dead. And she did say, I wasn't upset by this, which is odd because she always gets pissed.
Yeah.
But the reason she didn't get pissed is because she feels like they are genuinely trying
Yes.
To figure out what's going on.
I'm sure she could sense their energy, and she knows they're not up to no good, that they are actually nice people who are just struggling and trying anything they can.
Yeah. They're not doing 17 seances.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Steve's like, how have you been communicating? And Kathy said, a paranormal team came in. They've done EVPs, pictures, and exorcism, thinking that something was possessed. And then Amy said it's very, very rare that an individual is possessed. And so she said, when they're not done properly, all hell breaks loose. And then she also says that there's a person who, a living woman who's like basically falling apart. She's exhausted and she feels guilty because she wants to leave when she can't. And it's just, I feel so bad for her because Kathy's like, it's a constant struggle to keep the kids safe. I haven't slept in years, and watching your family get hurt by something you can't control, it makes you feel like you're not a good parent. And I just...
And then she says, you're not anything. That's what broke my heart.
Yeah.
It makes her feel like she's not anything.
And I just felt so bad for her because she's doing everything she can, you know, like she called, she's done investigations. She's, they've put salt around their house. Like they're doing everything they can. And then she said, every time I leave, I pray it burns down. Yeah, I'll lose everything, but I'll keep my sanity. Like that's how desperate they are. She would be fine with like losing everything they own.
Well, you got insurance money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like it's all their stuff. It's all the old dead guys, old Wild Bill dead guys.
Oh, Wild Half Mean Bill.
Half Mean Bill's shit.
Half Mean Bill. So then Amy talks about the demon, and she said that its main area is the garage, and it throws objects. It's very physical. I wanna get physical. Then Mike says he had concrete thrown at him, a wrench thrown at him, and then Steve shows the picture of Zach's stomach. And he asked if the thing did that to Zach, and she said, I wouldn't discount it as being a possibility. It is an advanced entity. When I first encountered it, it was a huge spider. And that's when Kathy said, I did see a headless man come into the room and told me to get out. And Amy goes, well, that's interesting. I mean, I might have chosen a different word, but, you know, it's just me. So now we get the sketch. And like I said, it's a little boy and a little girl. I suppose older. She's supposed to be the babysitter.
Yeah. But Amy calls her the babysitter.
The black shadow is just on the wall and it is so scary.
Yeah.
And he's a five-year-old boy.
Yeah. Poor Mikey.
I know. And Kathy says he's constantly playing with somebody. He'll wake up in the middle of the night and he's just hysterically laughing, which is creepy.
That is kind of creepy.
Yeah. Can you? Oh, my God. And then Amy said, I knew it was a small child that was being manipulated by this thing. Kathy says, what's the next step that it's going to try to do? And Amy said, well, it took me a while to figure out, but there was somebody at some point on the property who was into dark magic. Actually, she says magic. And the individual conjured up this entity, this thing. And it's a demon. And she said, it's definitely attaching and interacting with the family. It sought out living people to begin gaining more power, and it makes people fight. And that's when she said, like, screaming, physical fighting, yelling. And it basically wants everybody to turn against each other. And that's what Kathy said. She said, I call it a bloodbath. She said, because your blood just boils and you want to hurt the person. And she says it's over the stupidest things. But as soon, again, like she said earlier, as soon as you get off the property, you find that relief. So then we find out that it's the part of the night where Amy says, you know, what can you do? And honestly, Amy says, you just need to leave.
Yeah.
And Steve said, it's not too often that this is the advice Amy gives, but for her to give it, it must mean you got a serious problem. And then Kathy said, I'm leaving. She said, I'll just turn my back on my property. She said, I got to protect my family. And then Steve said, if they do decide to stay and they can't afford to move, what can they do? And it's a lot of stuff that has to be done at the same time. There's PTSD. Everybody needs to go through counseling, see a psychologist.
Which they should do even if they move away.
Everybody needs to do counseling, honestly. And then while that's going on, the Catholic priest must do an exorcism of the property and must counsel the dead man and then remove him.
See, no, she even said that the dead man was there. So how come they didn't talk about him being the man that died there, the previous owner? We're all speculating that it's him. She clearly said that in the reveal.
Yeah.
Why did they cut that out?
Probably to give more airtime to the demon, because that's what people want to hear about.
Ugh.
So then Steve asks, why is it easier for them to just move than to save the house? And she said, you have a family in dire straits. You have individuals at the location who are extremely open. And she said, this is an emergency. So,
and then when she said, I don't think you need to be burdened with all of that too, like on top of all of the other shit that's going on. Yeah. That made me sad.
So then, you know, she does her voiceover and she says, this demon has become so powerful that the only way to ensure their family remains safe is to get as far away from the property as possible. Yeah. And they have moved. They
found a new home and they're planning to move out next month. I assume they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they were able to sell that house, though.
Yeah.
Or take a loss. I mean, maybe they could do that, too. But
yeah, I hope whatever it was, I hope it was the best for them, because they just
maybe it burned down and they got insurance money and bought a house.
That would be ideal.
As
Amy was leaving, she just flicked a cigarette. Whoopsie. But it was a good. I mean, I literally gasped out loud probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah. That was creepy.
It was a good episode.
Yeah. Thanks for picking it.
Yeah.
Thanks for guiding us today.
That is
next week, it is AP's turn to pick a Dead Vows episode.
Yes.
And she chose Absorbed, which is season 11, episode 12. I did not look it up. I don't know anything about it. I trust her. I'm sure it's going to be good. Amy will be back with us next time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we mentioned this ahead of time, but Megan and I are just trying to do, we're testing maybe doing a couple of extra episodes a month rather than every 2 weeks. We're thinking maybe we'll meet up and do another one here and there. And, you know, we've invited Amy, of course, but she's very busy. And she's already given us every other Monday from now until the end of the year. And so she's not available to do more than that. But we might.
Yeah.
We might. We might not. We'll see how it goes.
We're just testing the waters.
Just seeing. So that's what we're doing next week. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.